I was reading in, there's a youth pastor at a church Andrew and I used to attend for a time, and he posted something, and I read it on Facebook. As soon as I read it, you dropped right in my spirit, just right off the bat, and I had to share it with you. And this was from a youth pastor. He says, "I was thinking, what if every young person in church had a mentor? I think it would bring unbelievable change into their lives." And he said this. He says, "A long time ago, I realized that young people did not need cool. They did not need hip. They needed spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers. They needed mentors. There are many teachers in the body of Christ, but there are very few fathers and mothers." And as I read that, you just poured right in my spirit, and I feel like that's a major, major calling in your life to be a spiritual mother in the house of God. It's a ministry, not necessarily so much to be preaching and teaching, but to find people and take them under your wings and be a spiritual mentor, a spiritual mother, so to speak, a mother figure in their lives in God. And I was in here, and I was praying, I was thinking about this yesterday as I was in here, and just everything in your life, highs, lows, good, the bad, questions, the mundane, the blandness, whatever is going on in your life, all of it is preparation to form you into the woman of God that He's called you to be, just to be a spiritual mother to many. Believe that with all my heart. So this season in your life right now, everything's going on, it's intentional, and it's good, and there's a long-term purpose, and you'll look back one day and see all of these things turn me to the person I am, so I can take this person who desperately might not want to hear me preach a sermon, but desperately needs someone to pay attention to them, someone to look up to, someone to be a spiritual mother in God. So I just wanted to share that with you. I believe that's from the Lord. I record it so you can listen to it if it's the Lord or not. But with that, I wanted to introduce Aaron Herrings, who's going to be sharing with us this morning. So welcome, Aaron.
Thank you. I definitely receive that. Okay. So, as you know, I'm a therapist. So Clay asked me to speak on Mother's Day, actually on Christmas Day. So I had a long time to think about it. I said yes right away because I knew I had to. But I had a long time to think about it. And it's not natural for me to talk a lot. Like, so as a therapist, we're trained to not talk. We're trained to talk as little as possible. So if you're talking a lot in a session, you're doing it wrong. So we're trained to talk as little as possible, say little nuggets of gold, and have someone else process it out. So a good session is someone else crying, or someone else talking, and we get bonus points if they're crying. So it's not natural for me to like just talk. I feel like I need to pause and like, you talk now. But this will be good experience for me. I know I already got confirmation that I'm talking in the right thing today of what's been said in worship and what Pastor Clay has already said. For those of you who don't know, me and my husband were adopting. And as you can tell, Clay already talked about adoption. I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. But we're adopting. We're in the process of adopting. We started looking at adoption back in October. So it's already been a really long process. So I wanted to kind of talk about that today because I really feel that adoption is just a thing on God's heart in our nation today. I think, you know, you've heard all the news about abortion. Kevin, I'm not going to talk about abortion today. I know you did on Mother's Day once, right? You were talking about that. But yes, I know. So I know that's just a big thing in America today, our nation. It's grieving God's heart. But I feel like God is really, really calling our nation to the idea of adoption. And I thought more about that lately. And abortion, yes, it kills the flesh, right? But adoption is more than a fleshly thing. It's like a supernatural thing. And I never understood the depth of it until I got into this process and understood the fullness of it and what it actually means supernaturally. It's so layered. And I think God is just moving across this nation right now and using it, obviously, to help, you know, those in need, and heart. Mm-hmm. Like, really, really bringing us back to why we're all here, right? Mm-hmm. And he's using this as an opportunity to move. So he's turning all this bad into good in our nation. I just feel like it's his heart right now.
Amen.
And then Pastor Clay brought up the foster system and things like that. So, so I'm going to tell you for a reason, and I'm going to get to it, how painful this adoption process has been. And then I'm going to share something for you. So far, we started in October. We had to go to a meeting. And said, okay, this is kind of the foster adopt system. Do you want in? And we're like, we prayed about it, we thought about it, and we're like, sure, let's do this. This is what we feel God confirmed it with us. So then the process began. So we had to have someone come out to our house. They, you know, of course, everything that goes into someone coming out to your house to inspect it, you have to clean everything, do all your laundry, do all your dishes, make sure your fire detectors are working. Like, you have to make sure everything is, like, on par. So we did that. That was just not even a scratch of the surface of what we've had to do since. So they gave us this huge document of all the things we had to do. We had to get all these things ready now. So we all had to go get physicals. We had to get signed off by our doctor. We had to get forms. We had to get an educational form from Lincoln that he was, like, we're treating him right. You know, his teachers think we're treating him right. We have to get, like, our financial statements. We have to do a budget. We had to get a W-2. Mm-hmm. We had to get all our insurance cards, medical, car. Yeah, right? That's a lot. I'm trying to tell you how painful this is, so I'm not done yet. So we had to do all this stuff. We had to get 3 references. People, our family, our friends had to write references for us, things like that. We had to get our marriage certificate. We had to go to a 4-hour CPR class.
Wow.
Painful. Mm-hmm. And then we had to go to a weekend class. So the weekend consisted of Friday night until 9 p.m., all day, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. the next day, Saturday, and then 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. the next day. So we had to go to that class, all right? Not done. We had to go get our fingerprints taken. And this is all a lot of, like, planning work. Like, we have to go to these places. We had to go to the town hall, supposedly just once, but we had to go 3 times to get signed off on our propane oven, make sure that our propane fireplace, that it was, like, up to par, right? So, but it took us 3 times to get the inspector to sign it for us, that he had already inspected it. Okay, I'm just getting anxious telling you about all this. And then we had to go to another class yesterday about legal risk. The whole class yesterday was about the legal risk of things, and I'm going to get more into that later. And then we had to fill out this grueling 54-page document with the most ridiculous questions I've ever heard in my entire life. Things like, I mean, I get why they're asking them, but it's things like, how do you express your love? How do you express your anger? And then they had like 15 emotions, and they're like, what? What don't you like? They had trick questions. What don't you like about your spouse? Why would you divorce them? Just like intense stuff, right? We're like, this is so painful. So we had to fill out that 54-page document. All right, so that's where we are at the process, months later. We haven't even began the child matching process. We haven't even began the legal process, which can be years. All right, so I'm just getting a point across here, how in-depth this adoption process is. Right, we had to, at this point, we have to make sure this is what we want, right? Like, this has been a lot of work. So we have to know that we know that this is the road we're taking, and we're choosing this. And we're choosing, like, all the pain that comes with it, right? And I'll get more into that in a second. So I told you all that for a reason. Okay. So in therapy, a lot of times I have people come in, like, say they have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and they're just, like, frustrated with them, and they're like, I'm so depressed, he's not texting me back, and they go on this big, long spiel, and I'm like, hold up. Let's look big picture. Do you even want to be with this guy? Do you even want to be with this gal? What, do we even want to talk about why he's not texting you back? Like, let's look big picture. And then sometimes it's just like, what? You're right. I don't want to be with this type of person. Like, they have to look big picture. So I'm going to bring you guys big picture today, because a lot of times we can get stuck in the weeds, right? Of, like, all the nitty-gritty of, like, should I do this? Should I do that? What does God want me to do? What does he not? Let's look big picture, okay? So God's adoption story is a big picture story. God adopted us, right? He adopted the human race as a whole, right? We know that on the surface, but I'm going to dig into it. So his time, big picture, his adoption plan for the human race took a very, very long time, all right? A very long time in our natural minds, right? I think the process since October has been long. He took, I don't even know how long, right? Since the beginning of time, and I'll get into that. So every day I have a 30-minute ride to preschool with Lincoln, and I like to do an activity during that time, or else it can be really painful, and he makes me play I Spy the whole way.
Yeah.
Dreadful. So I have an audiobook on my phone, and we listen to it, and I make him listen to a story in the Bible every day, and then we talk about it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like kind of a productive way to use our car ride. Yeah. So we've been listening to the Jesus Storybook Bible, and so it's like a kid's Bible written out in a story form, and it's a way I've never listened to the Bible before in my entire life, and I'll tell you why. The subtext of the Bible, the kid's Bible, is every story whispers his name. Mm. And I read how they intro the Bible, and it kind of made me think about things in a whole new way. All right. Now, some people think, so this is the kid's storybook explaining to kids what the Bible is about, right? So some people think the Bible is a book of rules telling you what you should and shouldn't do. The Bible isn't mainly about you and what you should be doing. It's about God and what he has done. Other people think the Bible is a book of heroes, showing people you should copy. Most people in the Bible aren't heroes at all. They make some big mistakes, sometimes on purpose. They get really afraid and run away. At times, they're downright mean. The Bible is more of all a story. It's an adventure story about a young hero who comes from a far country to win back his lost treasure. It's a love story about a brave prince who leaves his palace, his country, to win back his lost treasure. It's a love story about a brave prince who leaves his palace, his throne, everything to rescue the one he loves. It's like the most wonderful of fairy tales that has come true in real life. You see, the best thing about this story is it's true. There's a lot of stories in the Bible, but all the stories are telling one big story. The story of how God loves his children and comes to rescue them. It takes the whole Bible to tell the story. And at the center of the story, there's a baby. Every story in the Bible whispers his name. He's like the missing piece of a puzzle. The piece that makes all the pieces fit together, and suddenly you can see a beautiful picture. Yeah. So this intro to the kid's Bible took it big picture. Mm-hmm. They're like, this is what it's all about from beginning. You know, Jesus is mentioned in Genesis, right? To the very end. It's the whole story of our adoption. The whole Bible is the story of the human race adoption. That's huge. And so when you listen to each story, it just doesn't end with that intro. They link every single story in this children's Bible back to Jesus. Mm-hmm. So, for example, Joseph. We all know the story of Joseph. He got sold into slavery by his brothers, and he ended up to be second in command in Egypt, right? He had power, and he saved his family from the famine and the people, right? So this is what it says. It said that whole story in children's language. This is what it brought it back to at the end of the story. Like, the story, what it was basically saying, the story is not really about Joseph. This is what it's really about. And it brought it back big picture. One day, God would send another prince, a young prince whose heart would break. Like Joseph, he would leave his home and his father. His brothers would hate him and want him dead. He would be sold for pieces of silver. He would be punished even though he had done nothing wrong. But God would use everything that happened to this young prince, even the bad things, to do something good to forgive the sins of the whole world. So you see how it brought it back big picture? The story wasn't about Joseph. It's about Jesus,
right?
Mm-hmm. Right. So every single story in the Bible, there would be a connection back to our adoption story. Yeah. All right, so let's get into Ephesians 1, 4 through 5. Okay. And when you read this verse, think big picture. Just as in his love he chose us in Christ, actually selected us for himself as his own before the foundation of the world so that we could be holy, that is, consecrated, set apart for him, purpose-driven, and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined and lovingly planned for us to be adopted to himself as his own children through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the kind intention and good pleasure of his will. So it talks about, I know this verse is a little controversial about when people get saved or whatever, but I want you to think big picture. God predestined human race to be adopted by him. He thought of this, and it says here, he thought of this before the foundation of the world. He thought of this adoption, adopting us, before he built the world. Isn't that an incredible start to finish story, right? So, of course, I didn't get to this part, but adoption can be really expensive. So if you go private adoption, it can be like $50,000 to $100,000.
Goodness gracious.
It's a lot of money. So, in the natural, let's bring it big picture. God, it cost God so much to adopt us, like so much time, and he sacrificed so much to adopt us. I don't even know the emotional cost of God adopting us, right? Like, I'm preparing myself now for, like, the highs and lows of, like, what trauma is this kid going to bring in? What trauma am I going to have to help them through? What pain am I going to have to help them through? What if they, you know, it's all the unknown, right? Like, I can't even imagine what God goes through, right? With us sometimes, the emotional pain of it all. But here's the other piece. So I didn't talk about the legal part of adoption. So clearly we're going to adopt a kid that's not biologically ours, right? So there's a legal process. We have to go through a really long legal process, and eventually it will be to the judge decreeing, this is now your kid, 100%, no take-backsies, right? So it's a long process till then. So God had to do a legal process too. Interesting, right? So let's go to Galatians 4, 1 through 7. Okay. And with this, he talks about, before I read it, he talks about how he legally had to adopt us. There was a legal process God had to go through to adopt us. And it was a really, really, really long process, all right, for him to legally adopt us. So I'll read it. Now, what I mean when I talk about, and this verse I'm going to get into also talks about what it really means to be adopted, like final, legal, what that means. Now, what I mean when I talk about children and their guardians, it is this. As long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, even though he is the future and owner master of all the estate. But he is under the authority of guardians and the household administrations of managers until the date set by his father when he is of legal age. So also, we, whether Jews or Gentiles, when we were children, spiritually immature, were kept like slaves under the elementary man-made religious or philosophical teachings of the world. But when in God's plan, the proper time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the regulations of the law, so that he might redeem and liberate those who were under the law, that we who believe might be adopted as sons and as God's children with all rights as fully grown members of a family. And because you really are his sons, God has sent his spirit, the spirit of his son, into the hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer slave, bondservant, but a son. And if a son, then and you are also an heir through the gracious act of God through Christ. That's intense, right?
That verse, yeah.
Yeah. So God had to satisfy the law, right? So pre-Jesus, they were living under the law of Moses, right? Like, but Jesus came and satisfied that law for us, right? So therefore, we could accept that, right, by believing, and then we are fully heirs to God.
Amen.
So let me put this in a natural picture for you, right? So in the one of the weekend classes, they mentioned someone being adopted at 50 years old. And I'm like,
wow.
What? Why? Like, why would someone do that? It doesn't make sense to me. So my first thought went to, like, financial. Oh, maybe they had a lot of money they wanted to get, right? But they could just make a will, I guess. But no, I thought more about it. It had to do with identity.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They wanted to be adopted at 50 years old for identity's sake. That had to be the only reason, I'm guessing. I can't think of any other ones. Because if it's financial, you could just be written into a will. I don't know. It had to be identity.
Right. Yeah.
So that's a powerful message, right?
Yeah.
So imagine, like, pretend it was a royal family, right? So imagine us. Think it, get in your imagination mode, right? God gave us imagination. Imagine that there was a royal family wanting to adopt you as an adult. Like, hey, I love you so much. I want to adopt you as an adult so you can have everything of mine, right? So what would that person get as an adult? They'd probably have access to a lot of favor in the kingdom, right? They'd get the restaurants, get reservations to all the restaurants they want, or what, go wherever they wanted, right? They'd probably get a lot of money, a lot of wealth. They'd have access to the nation's or the country's armies, right? And they'd have a whole new level of identity as royalty.
Mm-hmm.
They would be a prince or a princess, right, in the kingdom. Like, in the natural, that sounds pretty great, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's bring that supernatural. All right, being in God's family does the same thing for us because God is royalty.
Amen.
We get favor. We get wealth.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Financially and spiritually.
Yeah.
We have access to his angel armies. Right?
Yeah.
And then we also get an identity in God that comes with a lot of authority, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like in the natural where, like, a king can give you its ring and you stamp a law, right? This is like intense supernatural authority wherever you go. That's why being a son or a daughter adopted fully as an heir into his kingdom is such a big deal, right?
It is.
Such a big deal. All right. All right, so why did he do that, right? I don't get it. I do. But it seems like too good to be true, right? So he did it because he loves us. He likes to be close with us. He likes us. Isn't that a weird statement to say sometimes? He likes us. he likes to hang out with us. He likes to have fun with us. He likes to see us grow. He just likes us. Right? He wants to talk with us. We're heirs, so we get to access his throne room, right? We get to walk up to him. Imagine, like in the natural, if the king was your dad, you could probably walk in the throne room like, hey, dad, I got this one thing, right? Can you talk to me about? Or like, hey, I just want to hang out with you. We get to walk into his throne room as like a son or a daughter because we're heirs to it. It's our kingdom too. It's our kingdom too.
Amen.
All right. I do want to read something that, did I write it down? Yes. Okay. I want to read something that kind of offended all the lies in my brain. So it took me a long time to process because I initially shut it down when I read it. I'm like, nah, that can't be true. But after, like, doing this study, I'm like, oh, that's probably true. That makes a lot of sense. And it just, it's like, again, too good to be true. So back to, I'm going to reference Ephesians 1:4 again. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read it in a little bit different version. All right. I'm going to read it again, just so we can preface it. All right. How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master Jesus Christ and takes us to the high places of blessing with him. Long before he laid down the foundations, earth's foundations, he had us in mind and had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved son. That sounds pretty great. So this is what I read that offended me a little bit. I mean, offended my lies. Okay. Adoption, this is what someone else wrote about adoption. Adoption in God's mind was not plan B. He predestined us for adoption, the human race, before the creation of the world. Plan A was not lots of children who never sinned and never needed to be redeemed. Plan A was creation, fall, redemption, adoption, so that the full range of God's glory and mercy and grace could be known by his adopted children. Adoption was not second best. It was planned from the beginning.
Amen.
I'm like, what? I tend to be a little perfectionist. I'm like, that is a lot. Like, but you know what? I thought about it. God didn't expect me to be born and not sin, right? Like, Jesus died for me even before I was born. So this was predestined even for, you know, us alive, but the human race.
Right.
What a thing to imagine. And like, and I love in this verse, in this version of the verse, is what pleasure he took in planning this. I love that piece. All right, so in closing, every big picture, God adopted us. Why? He didn't need to, right? He had his kingdom, he had his angels, he's God. He has whatever he wants, right? But he did it. He went to huge lengths, a lot of time to set it up legally, right? To get us to a place where we can walk into his throne room and say, hi, Dad.
Amen.
He took a lot of time for that to happen. But why? When we messed up so bad and he knew it from the beginning, he still did it. Because, I bring it back, because he likes us.
Mm.
He wants relationship with us.
Amen.
He just wants to enjoy us.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
There it is.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. So, I believe God wants this story of adoption. This is his heart right now. This is his heart for adoption for our nation, right? This is it. And I think specifically for the church right now, because he wants us to really realize what our identity is. Like,
that's right.
How royal we are. I think something big is coming for...
Yeah.
Church,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
New England church, right? It's
yeah.
Something big's coming. We can
yeah.
all get
yeah.
a whiff of it, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Something big is coming. And I think he wants us to know how much he likes us and how and what truly our identity is in him and how much authority and how royal we are in his kingdom.
That's right.
Amen.
What's that?
Amen. Good. Good.